Good evening, everyone. I thought tonight on this snowy, blustery night that we could look into this chant by great master Lin Ji called Nothing to Do. I have to admit that the title, he had me at the title, really. All my life, I've been what people have called a doer. I seem to always have a never-ending list of things to do. And the idea of nothing to do is quite provocative. And so I thought we could look into this to see what it is that he's pointing to. So, no, there is no Buddha, no Dharma, no practice, no realization. What is it you seek in others? What is it you lack? It's as though you want to put another head on top of the one you already have. At this very moment, your own wonderful function is no different from the wonderful function of the masters and the Buddhas. It's only because you lack confidence that you seek something outside of you. So, quite a paragraph here. Lots in it. And I think that certain things really jump off the page at me. These questions. What is it you seek in others? What is it you lack? For a great deal of my life, I sought lots of things in others. I sought approval in others, recognition in others, sure that what I had to offer was not enough and needed a lot of reassurance from outside myself about who I was as a person and what I could possibly have to offer to the world. It's as though you want to put another head on top of the one you already have. To me, this line, he's looking at me and saying, you want to be something other than what you are, huh? Frequently wish I were different. Often the way things arise for me, I move quickly, not as quickly as I used to, but still quickly. I think quickly, I speak quickly, and these have been things that have often led me to wish I were different. And it actually, that wishing that I were different, this practice of actually just being with that and seeing that has really been a wonderful practice for me. And it has been a guiding light in the context of doing less harm, to wait a moment and see what needs to be said or what needs to be done. I'm so grateful for this practice of turning toward what is here and holding it up in the context of our bodhisattva vows, our highest value to do less harm in the world, and our 16 bodhisattva precepts, all helping me to live the life that I actually have. At this very moment, your own wonderful function is no different from the wonderful function of the Masters and the Buddhas. This phrase, wonderful function, being Laura, or being you, trees being trees, rocks being rocks, snow being snow, wind being wind. This wonderful function, this great universe and us, universing in all of these different ways, this wonderful function. At this very moment, your own wonderful function is no different from the wonderful function of the Masters and the Buddhas. Sometimes very easy to think, okay, for the wind and the snow, but what about when I'm taken over by greed? Earlier today we were looking at that a little bit, and or perhaps it was yesterday, I've lost track now, but I kept thinking about greed arising in me. It often arises when I get into my car and get behind the wheel and want to have that little bit of being ahead. Get ahead when it's my turn to get on the highway. It's my turn to get on the highway. And I watch it arise, and I am ashamed of this greed that arises. And yet, Linji tells me, at this very moment, your own wonderful function, this great universe and us functioning, is greed arising. Greed arising. And turning toward it, seeing it for what it is. And turning toward feeling ashamed of it. And turning toward all the arisings that may come with it. And sometimes getting a choice to take my foot off the gas and let someone in front of me. It's only because you lack confidence that you seek something outside of you. This is that wanting to be sure, wanting to know that I am worthy as a human being. Feeling that what could I possibly have to offer the world? And seeing that too, this lack, this feeling of lacking or this not enoughness. For me, I have come to see this as another face of greed. I know it sounds odd because with greed, it's usually the context is more, I need more. And this lack also is about I need more. I need something to make me okay. I need more than what I have. I need to be more than what I am. And for me, this is pointing to this practice of enoughness. That each moment is full and complete. Nothing lacking. and it is enough, just as it is. Make no mistake, there's no Dharma outside you to run after. There's no Dharma within to attain. Rather than seeking, it would be better to hear these words, rest and practice, having nothing to do. So this chasing is chasing after things, chasing after enlightenment, realization, wanting to understand, wanting to be certain, wanting to be sure. All of these things. And Linji tells us it's not outside you. It's not inside you. Rest in these words and practice having nothing to do. Quite a thing. If something has arisen, don't try to make it continue. If something has not arisen, don't try to make it arise. These words bring to mind our practice as we sit in Zazen. Things arise, thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations, all these various things, all these arisings. I love the category that Josh calls it. He says, stuff. Stuff arises. And I resonate with that quite a bit. So when something has arisen, don't try to make it continue. No need to hang on, add fuel to the fire. If something has not arisen, don't try to make it arise. This makes me think of when I am not feeling quite the way I'd like. Perhaps I'm feeling sad or confused, and I would rather be happy and clear, wanting those things to arise instead of what's here. But again, Master Linji says, nothing to do, no problem. The arising is here as it is, and our practice is turning toward it, even when turning toward it means we see that we don't want it, and we turn toward it when we do try to make something arise, and we turn toward it when we do try to make it continue. He says this practice of doing nothing is more valuable than 10 years pilgrimage. There's nothing you need to do. You just need to live as ordinary people, wear your robe, eat your food. As day follows day, be a person who has nothing to do. I think what he's pointing to is that my practice is none of my business. It's not up to me how this practice moves me, what direction it takes me. As we were talking about earlier with Steve's talk, that I resonated quite strongly with the not knowing where these thoughts that arise in my mind come from. Some of the ones that come I have no desire for them. I don't know why they're there, but they arise nonetheless. So I think he's also pointing to that there is lots to do in this being a person of nothing to do. In this knowing that this practice is not mine, that this great universe in us is practicing through me, as me, in me. Not my business. And I am moved to go in a particular direction. I am moved to speak up. I am moved to take action. I am moved to get things done. And so this too is being a person of nothing to do. No mistaking that he's saying, yeah, sure, just sit around and do nothing. He says, live as ordinary people. Wear your robe. Eat your food. Show up at the zendo. Say a prayer. Call your congressman. Or whatever you are moved to do. This is being a person of nothing to do. And knowing that, that the Dharma moves us, turns us, that this great universe in us is practicing all the while. And our job is to simply join it. Make space for it. Welcome it. Or sometimes push it away. To meet each arising just as it is. To let each one be enough just as it is. Not needing to make it any more or any less. So I invite you to sit comfortably, and this is a time for our Dharma dialogue and any thoughts, reflections, sharing, and questions, however it arises for you.
That we're looking for this permission to do nothing. We need like someone to tell us not to do anything. But all the messaging is always around something else. I was thinking about even how I do the New York Times crossword on my iPad for fun to do nothing, but it times me and it lets me know if I didn't do it as fast as I did it yesterday. So even something that I'm supposed to relax doing pits me against myself. I felt like it was a nice deep breath that I could take to know that I really don't have to do anything. I don't have to be better at the crossword puzzle.
It's quite a radical thing, this you know, with this practice of that we have of shikantaza, it's a no doing practice. And in our, from my conditioning and in coming from my, with my karma, quite radical. And very difficult, actually. Much more comfortable doing.
Thank you for your talk. I remember we studied this text, I think, 2 years ago. And still makes no sense. But yeah, I love how you phrase the greed behind like wanting to feel a certain way or to have certain, you know, thoughts. I never attached kind of greed, you know, to that. And honestly, greed has been one of the harder things for me to pinpoint in my practice, which probably means it's deep in me. So yeah, hearing you put it like that was really, really sweet. And I love the idea of making room for it, making space, that I don't have to crowd out all of what I'm doing, but I can invite in the universe with me. It's not all my responsibility. There's something really nice about that.
Yeah, as we study these teachings, the challenge is exactly what you say about how do we actually understand it in our own experience. Really appreciate you saying that about so greed, anger, and ignorance, we can all go, oh yeah, they're terrible, and, you know, I hope I don't have any of those. But part of it is really seeing, interpreting the teachings through our own experience. So what might this mean about me? And then we listen and we hear someone say, oh, wanting it to be a little different. Yeah, I know, yeah. And then sort of the teachings come alive, not as something outside of us, but as a way of sort of mapping and understanding our own experience. Sometimes people come and say, well, I want to study Buddhism. How do I do that? And I say, well, come sit. You know, this is what we're studying, these teachings in ourself. So it's great.
For me, what doing has, I recognize why I do is because it's oftentimes been a substitute for feeling. Mm-hmm. Right? If I don't try to fix it, then if I don't try to work, you know, do this, do that, then I have to feel the reason I do stuff. I feel my dissatisfaction, my hurt, my pain, my whatever form it's taking. I have to feel it because I don't do something to take care of it. There it is. Whatever it is. So, yeah. So that's what has been helpful for me to not do.
Thank you. So beautifully said, Ray. And I resonate very strongly with that. Work, it can be a great distraction. And one that we get paid for, too. And I really appreciate what you said about this. What Lin Ji is pointing to here is, you know, this invitation to set that down and really inviting us to be human, to actually feel the sadness when we're sad, the grief when we're grieving, the heartbreak, the anger, the, all these feelings that can, for me anyway, can be so difficult. of course, in this culture, you know, we're encouraged to get rid of them. We're supposed to be happy all the time for some reason. I don't know where we got that. But it's been a big relief to me to find out that that's not the truth. And I'm so glad, because I'm not happy all the time. You know,
what?
I'm so sorry. I had to be the one to burst the bubble. I'm sorry. You know, I tried so hard for years to be happy all the time because I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't. Right? And we go seeking after all these things that we think will make us happy. But so it's quite a relief to know that, yeah, no need to be happy all the time. What a relief. And no need to be anything all the time. What a relief, because in a matter of moments, so many emotions can run through me so quickly. They change so fast. I'm sure many of you experience this too. 1 minute furious, next minute gone. Quite a thing. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, is it Tim?
Seth.
No. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, during that reading and during your talk, one of the tricks that my mind plays was illuminated for me, and kind of seeing, you know, maybe something I've been subconsciously aware of for some time now, but just noticing that when something comes up, a circumstance or an obligation or some sort of situation that threatens this kind of eternal state of superficial bliss that I tend to ride around in, I confuse the nothing to do with nothing to see. And so I don't actually turn towards it. I just kind of let it bounce off or pass by and don't see it or ever respond to it. And this isn't something I've been doing consciously, but now kind of seeing that, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that was quite obvious. How did I not pick up on that? But yeah, it's interesting to see. Just since in the few days that this retreat has been going, just kind of reassessing some of the misconceptions or maybe prior understandings that I've established or developed in this practice, and I think it will, it's like a well-deserved cleaning out of the closet and kind of what is actually in here. But yeah, just that tendency of confusing nothing to do with nothing to see here, so I can just kind of move on. That's very, very profound for me. So thank you for helping me to arrive.
Well, and on that note, let's all see what's arising here. Take a few more breaths.